think we were learning last week the Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph from the base.
Yes.
I think we got to the bottom. Towards the bottom. This, a line from the bottom up. He's quoting in the name of Abai. What's the halacha? The Gemara presented that it's a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, what we call in Shulchan Aruch not by not the hetera. Nois and tama. Means if you cooked, that's a machloikis. If I cooked fish in a fleshig pot, do the fish become fleshig? That are not allowed to put in butter or milk into the fish. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. If I cooked kosher food in a treifa pot, a bli of a treifas, so it becomes treif. You see, tam ki iker. And then if I pour that into another pot when it's burning hot, that makes the other pot treif. And then if I throw out the treifa stuff, I'll throw out the treifas, I'll have to kosher the second pot. And if I won't kosher the second pot, I'll wash it out and I'll cook hot water in it, so that'll become treif. And I'll pour the hot water to another pot, that'll become treif. And nice and tam keeps on making treif, unless you have shishim against it. But if you have hetera bola, if it was, I cooked the fish in a fleshik pot, the flesh is kosher. So then the fleshik blia goes into the fish, and it doesn't yet have the milk. So the whole time that it has, the fleshik blia went into the pot, and I washed out the pot. Then the fleshik blia from the pot goes into the fish, so it's a tam sheni. It's a nois and tam by nois and tam hetera, and nothing is treif yet. So it's only a nois and tam by nois and tam is a tam kolush. So nisa cannot be chal on a tam kolush. Now if I'm going to put in milk or butter into the fish, it doesn't make it basim b'chol. So that's how we paskin. That's what Abai says. Hilchos, second line from the bottom.
When they
had a dairy, did he put onion? Can't eat it with flesh. Right. Why not you say it's a tam kolush? Why don't you eat it? Oh, so that's because Rashi had a son-in-law, the Rivon. He had a few sons-in-law. The one son-in-law was the Rivon. So Tosfos quotes in the name of the Rivon that he claims in the name of his father-in-law. He heard from Rashi. We don't have it any other source. Tosfos says the son-in-law quotes in the name of Rashi that the Gemara only says this kula dogim sha'olu b'kaira means the fish is burning hot and I put it on a fleshy plate that's cold, or the plate is burning hot, fleshy plate is hot and the fish is cold. One is hot, one is cold. So then the tam that goes in is not such a strong tam to begin with. But if it was cooked in it, dogim shin is only dogim sha'olu b'kaira. The dogim are burning hot and the kaira is cold, or the kaira is hot and the dogim are cold. But dogim shin is bashlo in a fleshik deira, so bishul gives a stronger blia, so that's not called not by not. Unless that's called not by not, alidei bishul is not enough. So the Ramah is machma like Rashi, and the Mechaber doesn't follow this. This is fashkenazim. This chumra of the Rivon Shem Rashi.
Where does this machinery again become fleshik?
Yeah. They did some hot milchiks. Right. So we're machmer like the Ramah. The Mechaber says not so. So all this dairy equipment store, that's only a chumra for Ashkenazim. As far as Fardim are concerned, it's parva. The dairy equipment is parva. Correct? Because Fardim, the chumra doesn't exist. And even for Ashkenazim, the chumra only applies if it's a nois and tam bar nois and tam. What if it's a nois and tam bar nois and tam bar nois and tam? So then there's nothing to be machmer about. For example, that's what Tosfos explains. Let's say I have a milchik pot and I want to make it parva. So Tosfos raised the question, we had it previously in the end of Avodah Zarah. Tosfos raises the issue. Whenever you kasher a treifa pot, say du hagola, so the treifa blia goes out from the pot, goes into the water. What's going to prevent the treif of lif from coming back into the pot? It'll make the pot treif again. So what do you accomplish? Oh, so either you have to see to it that you have shishim in the water against the whole thickness of the pot, because the Gemara says later, or earlier, the previous perek in Gidon Osha, Gemara says, you never know how much bli is coming out, so you have to be concerned to measure against the maximum. You have to be mishar keneged kulay. So you have to imagine maybe the whole thickness of the walls of the pot is completely saturated with treifas. So a lot of times you won't have shishim in the water against the thickness of the pot. So then what's to prevent the treifa bli from coming back in? So Taisa says if you don't have shishim in the water, then you have to see to it that the treifa pot should be an eina ben yoma, should be 24 hours after it became treif. What does that help? Because the Gemara says any treifa bli in the walls of a pot, if it sits there for 24 hours, so the charsis hagdera, the metal of the pot is going to give a metallic flavor to the treifa bliya and it's going to make a nice and tam levgam, because the bliya is sitting there for 24 hours, so it's going to ruin the bliya. It's going to be nice and tam levgam. So min ha-Torah, whenever you have a treifa pot that hasn't been used in treifas in the last 24 hours, in 24 hours since it became treif, so min ha-Torah, you don't have to kasha the pot at all. But they made gzera derabbanan, gzera ein ben yomo to ben yomo, because people are going to just have one set of dishes and use it for fleishigs, for milchigs, for chametz, for Pesach, for treifas. They have goyim who come sometimes. Goyish and maid will cook treifas in the pot, just put on a label when it was used for treifas, and wait 24 hours and shine. So everything will be mutter. So the chacham were afraid the labels are going to fall off and they're going to get mixed up with the other pot.
It's so, for Adam and Tzurkis as well.
Yeah, that's a gemara. That's a gemara.
Question, what about a hakeva, though? In other words, you're not a treifa pot. You want to make a par.
So the Gemara, let's go one at a time. So the Gemara said, if you have a treif, a pot, so min ha-Torah, once you waited 24 hours after it became treif, it's no longer treif, because the bliya in the pot becomes a noisim tam levgam, so it can't make anything treif. But mid the Rabbanan, they made gzeira, chumra, gzeira, ene ben yoma, ota ben yoma, you have to kasher even the treif of pot. So now you're asking a new question. The gzeira de Rabbanan that they made on a treif of pot wasn't made on a fleshik pot also? From fleshiks to milchiks, maybe by a fleshik pot, maybe just put on a label, and after 24 hours you can use it for milchiks. And milchik pot, just put on a label, and after 24 hours you can use it for fleshiks. Maybe the gzera derabbanan is only made on a treifa pot, but on a kosher pot that's milchik, and you want to switch it to fleshik, or fleshik you want to switch, maybe you just have to wait 24 hours after it made fleshik, and you don't have to kasher anything. Maybe there's no gzera derabbanan. So the Ritva quotes that he was a Talmud of Rabbaran Halevi, the Ra'of in Barcelona, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. So Rabbaran Halevi had a lot of original chidushim, and had a brother, Rabbeinu Pinchas Halevi, had bigger chidushim. They both had big chidushim. So then, this was one of his hang-ups, that he only had one set of dishes. He didn't have fleshiks and milchiks, he only had one set of dishes. So the Talmidim were pleading with the Rebbe. Rebbe, of course, we know that you're right, that the Gzera Derabbanan was never made on a kosher pot to switch from fleshik to milchik. But everybody says you're not pikeiros, everybody says you're shegit, so just give in to the others. Do it. He said, no, nope, matter of principle, right is wrong, right is right, he's not going to give in. He only has one set of dishes. I remember when we were learning this in yeshiva, so one of the students had previously gone to the seminary. Then he came to learn in the yeshiva for smicha. He says, "Wow, they don't know about this in the seminary. They would have known this. They would have been mefarsim already." Okay. Hey, Miguel and Ella, let's do it.
You still need shishim?
No, you had a question
at another
reason. We make sure it should be shishim because maybe it'll go back into the pot again. What if it's hatera?
Oh, that's what we're getting to. The taisus, right? Let's first do one at a time. So if you have a treifah pot, you want a kasha, so you do hagola. So Taisus asked the question, what is hagola going to help? The treifah bliya goes into the water, it's going to come back into the pot. What's to prevent it from coming back into the pot? So kibolak achpata, but it'll be balea back again. What's to prevent it from being balea back again? So Taisus said, you have to be careful. Either make sure you have shishim in the water against the thickness of the walls of the treifah pot, or if it's highly unlikely, if you're kashering in a small kli, you don't think you have shishim against it, you have to wait till your treifa pot is ein ben yoma. What does that help? Because min ha-Torah, the bliya that's ein ben yoma is nice and tam levgam. So min ha-Torah, you don't have to kasher the treifa pot at all, once it's 24 hours after it became treif. But they made a gzera derabbanan that the label may fall off of this pot and get stuck onto the other pot. You're going to mix up all the pots. So the made gzera, you have to kasher. So that gzera derabbanan, ein ben yoma, ben yoma, was only instituted if initially, originally, the treifa bliya was absorbed into the pot and it was nice and tam l'shvach originally. So then, even though it sits in the pot for 24 hours and it turned into, it became a nice and tam l'vgam, that was the gzera derabbanan, ein ben yoma, ben yoma. Once the treifa bliya is already in the pot 24 hours, You're going to do Hagolah, goes into the water, then it's going to come back in. When it comes back in, it's going to be Tchilas Abliya Levgam. Tchilas Abliya Levgam, the Chachamim were never Machmer. They never made a Gzeir de Rabbanah. The din is a nice and Tam Levgam is Mutter. If a tray for Bliya gets absorbed in a pot, and the Bliya is nice and Tam Levgam, it doesn't taste good, so it doesn't das. If the Tchilas Abliya, when I cooked the Chazra in the pot, the Chazra was delicious, and initially it was nice and Tam Leshvach, and then and I washed out the pot, and then the bliya sits in the pot for 24 hours and it turns into levgam because of the metallic flavor. So then it's exerah derabbanan and you have to kasha. But once the bliya goes into the water, after it's already nice and levgam, even if it comes back into the pot, so that's chilos abliya levgam, so that they will never goyzer. So Tosis says, what if you want to kasha a fleshik pot? You want to kasha a milchik pot? It's not treif, it's a kasha pot. So Tosis says, you neither need shishim, nor do you need that the pot should be any ben yomo, because the fleshik bliya that's absorbed in the fleshik pot is tam rishon. I washed all the flesh. I cooked flesh in the pot. I ate up all the flesh. Everything is kosher. I ate it up. I washed out spick and span. The pot is clean, but there's a fleshik bliya in the walls of the pot. Then I'm going to do hagalah an hour after, half an hour after. So the fleshik bliya goes into the water. That's already nice and tam by nice and tam. Then there's nothing to prevent the fleshik bliya from coming back into the pot. That's already got to be nice and tam by nice and tam by nice and tam. That's already a third time. The first time was that the fleshik bliya was absorbed into the pot when I cooked the flesh. And then I washed out the pot. And now the fleshik bliya goes into the water when I do agola. And Tosis is right, there's nothing to prevent. And I don't have shishim. And the bliya is a ben yomo. But there's nothing to prevent the bliya from coming back into the same pot. Fine, it goes back into the same pot. But by now, when it goes back into the same pot, there's nice and tam, bar nice and tam, bar nice and tam. So even though everything is ayidei bishul, the flesh was cooked originally in the pot, and then I'm doing hagola, it's burning hot, everything is burning hot. So Taisa says, the chumra of the rivon doesn't apply here. The rivon said, not bar not ayidei bishul, doesn't go down to the second madrega, goes down to half a madrega. But here, with nice and tam, and nice and tam, by nice and tam, so by now it's already a tam kolush, and you don't have to worry about anything.
If you're doing hagama in the power of the pig, the power of the vat, and you first put in without shishim, you put in a dairy cleave, and then you do hagama on a bus, an inflation cleave, there's a mayim makram that you're doing hagama, yes, sir?
Zach hazeh?
Yeah.
The Shulchan Aruch says you're going to have a problem because it's, what do you have first? Let's say a fleishik. Okay, a part of the pot I'm doing hagola, and first I do hagola on a fleishik pot, and I don't have shishin in the water, so there's a fleishik bliya floating around in the water. So according to the mechaber, according to many rishonim, it's not banat. You don't have to worry about anything. But we're choshish for the rivon Ashkenazim. The Ramah quotes this rivon b'shem Rashi. We're machma like the rivon. So the Rivan says, you don't yet have not by not, because it was like day bishul. So it's like, instead of being two, it's one and a half. If it would have been, one would be hot, one would be cold, it would have been not by not. So it's one and a half, so the fleshik bliya is floating around in the water. So then if I'm going to do hagola on a milchik pot, the bliya may come out from the milchik pot and bump directly into the fleshik bliyas that are floating around. So then there's a concern, it may become treif. The bliyas that are floating around may become basa b'chola. If you, everything is ayna ben yama, there's no problem. No, correct,
the
correct.
The chef, the apart asuiv aluminium, is soft metal. As far as I have heard, aluminium is not allowed to cook. It's soft metal.
What do you mean, not allowed to cook?
You only on the stainless steel. Stainless steel. This is soft metal. It's absorbed. The soft metal absorbs deep into aluminium.
Okay,
you can kasha aluminum.
Yeah, you can kasha aluminum.
No, it's a soft metal. You understand the heat?
You can do hagola on a wooden kli also. It's even softer. Wood is softer than aluminum.
Really?
No.
You spoke before Pesach. You said that you really don't need a ben yomo kasha kelim. Maybe the shoes are afraid of
straight, and the people are kasha, some are kasha Moses, and some are kasha Pleshes.
Right.
So then you go lead the Benyomah.
Okay. Okay.
For Pesach. You don't need it.
For the Chametz, you don't need Benyomah. It should be any Benyomah. But for the Fleshy and Milchi.
You don't know what the people are bringing.
That's right. That is correct. That's a good idea. Maybe that's why they insist that everything should be. Good. Very good. Sure. So that's Vehilchasa, because the Gemara before said it's a machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel. What's the din of not banat? Abai says that we paskin like Shmuel. The not banat is mutter. Shmuel am a mutter leochlam bekutter. That not banat doesn't make flesh. Yeah. Here there's a different question. What did he do? He cooked the fish in a fleshic pot? So there's a Gemara in Psachim that says that if you cook fish and flesh together, it's a problem that you may develop tzaras. That's what the doctors in the days of the Gemara thought, that it's a chashash may develop tzaras. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote that that it's a chashash sakana. So the shaila is, what if you're not cooking fish and flesh together, you're just cooking fish in a fleshic pot? Is that also a concern? So the Gemara talks about dogim sha'olu b'kaira. I put hot fish on a cold fleshic plate. The Gemara never talks about dogim shinis bashal. That's what the Rivon talks about that. So some achrayim want to say, oy gevald gefelach, if you're going to cook fish in a fleshic pot, it's going to be a chashash sakon. But that's why the minik has it, that you always have a separate fish pot. You don't cook fish in a fleshic pot. Fish and milk, we spoke about that. Fish and milk, if that's a sakana, that's a sakana. So the everybody fries fish with butter. So how could that be a sakana? So some say no.
Not the Spartan, no.
Really?
Spartan don't have fish.
Just like they don't have pasta and collard, they don't have dog.
Oh, okay. No, because of sakana, not because of basa b'cholav. No. Because of sakana. So some of the Ashkenazim distinguish that the fry fish in butter, that's healthy. But the fry fish in milk, just like the Gemara says, to cook fish with flesh is a sakana, the fish with milk is also a sakana. So the,
does it apply now?
Huh? So the Shach, yeah, the Shach talks about this. The Shach thinks the whole thing is a mistake. The whole thing is based on an error. With the fish with the milk, that it's also sakana. Yeah. The Magen Avraham writes that the Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s, and he said that we never heard, where do you think the Gemara got this idea from, that fish in the flesh is a sakana? They heard it from the Goyisha doctors. They weren't doctors. So he says the doctors of our generation say that there's no sakana. So he doesn't think that there's anything to worry about if you have fish that was cooked with flesh. And the Nadi Behuda lived in the 1700s, 100 years after the Magen Avraham. So he thinks, maybe the doctors in the Zemara Gemara were right. Maybe the doctors in the days of Magen Avraham were wrong. Maybe they didn't study enough cases. So that's why people are still concerned about the fish with the flesh. Years ago, the Belzer used to be part of the Badats of the Eidah Haredes in Yerushalayim. So then the Eidah Haredes told Beshita, you're not allowed to Chalila, but Chalila, take any money from the Zionist government in Eretz Aveira. So the Belzer were going to build their big shul. So they took millions of shkolim from the government. So they had to break away from the Eidah Haredes, but they had to give a respectable reason. They can't say we're breaking off from the Eidah Haredes because we plan to take millions of dollars from the government. So they said because we have different shittas in kashrus, we can't rely on that because the Eidah Haredes is Rachmana Litzlan Mekel, that they allow in their restaurants, they allow hashgacha fish with butter, fish with milk. We don't allow that. You're not allowed to have fish with milk, fish with butter. So that's the official reason why they broke off in the Eidah Haredes, because of the fish with butter. No, no. Also not. Tov aleim bracha. Okay. Okay. The Pashtus is like the Magen Avraham. What's the chashash? We should do exactly what the Chazal did. Chazal listened to the doctors of their generation. So we listen to the doctors of our generation. Medicine keeps on developing. Whatever the people who would never chalila, they have two different forks. You're not going to eat the flesh with the same fork that you ate the fish. The Shach writes the whole. Even if there is a sakana only is if the two were cooked together. But if you eat them together, they weren't cooked together. That's not a chashash. So the women are so careful, they insist on dafkan having two different forks. The same women will give you a fatting cholent that has so much cholesterol, and the husbands will smoke cigarettes. All the things that are badai sakonis, that they're not worried about. They're only worried about this imaginary sakana from the doctors in the days of the Gemara that the Magen Avraham makes fun of. It's not right. We should be careful about our health.
That's fish
separate fish and flesh?
We buy you a silver set. There's no forks or short forks.
Maybe it's for the dessert. It's for fish or it's for the dessert? Maybe it's for the melon? Three forks. Must be a Yiddish company. Okay, it's a Yiddish company.
One for fish, one for the dessert, one for salad. I don't know. And they call it fish fork.
You got to sell the silver one.
Okay. They don't want to mix the flavors. So Abai is giving the psak. The halach is dog mshalah b'kaira, not banat is mutter. Fine. Then he says, number two, it's known a radish, a chotcha b'sakin, shachotach b'basar. He took a knife, took a fleshing knife, and he cut flesh. Then he takes the same knife, which is, he cut hot flesh. So the knife became hot. If he cuts cold piece of flesh, so there's no bliya b'tzayin. It means he cut a burning hot piece of flesh, and the knife became fleshing. Then he takes that fleshing knife and he cooks the radish. Also, lochla b'kutach. He's not allowed to eat that radish together with milk. So the shaila is, what does it mean? He cut the flesh and he washed off the knife, and the knife is clean, and you're just concerned about the fleshing blia coming out from the knife into the radish, that it's also lochla with milchiks. What happened to the din of not banat? He just said, Turka de Dibra. Because it's not by not. So if you have a fleshing knife that you washed off and you cut a radish, let it also be not by not. So the two pshatim in the Rishonim, Rashi has two pshatim. So one pshat is, we're talking, he cut the flesh with the knife and he didn't wash it off so well. He didn't wash off the knife at all. So even if he cut cold flesh, the knife doesn't have to become fleshy. I had a par of a knife and I cut cold flesh, and there's no bliya in the knife because there's no bliya between it. But I never washed off the knife, so there's shamnunis on the surface of the knife. So then if I cut it tznon, so then the tznon will absorb the fleshiks. But if I washed off the knife, even if it is a fleshing, if I washed it off and there's no fleshiks bien, it's only a bliya, so then it's going to be not by not, like he said, dog mshal of the kar. And we're machmer and shulchan aruch against that. We're machmer that since the tznon, since the radish is a dover charif, that's how the Gemara says, V'hani mili, this then only applies to known the agav churfei bala, because it's a davar charif, therefore it's balaya. So we are machmet to say that not only will it be balaya if there's shamnunis, if the shmaltz on the surface of the knife, even if the knife is cleaned off and everything is cold, the knife is cold and the radish is cold, still there's a bliya b'tzoinen. So because it's a davar charif, so the kula of not banat doesn't apply. Achidish.
Without saying, with duch kiddus hakina,
then we're machmer on the not bar not. I told over the story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner. I told over the story probably, you know. But the woman came on Erev Shabbos with the shayla. She, by mistake, she cut onions. She cut the onions with a milchig knife, and then she cooked the flesh with the onions. So according to the Yeri Day, it's asa, because the milchig knife made the onions milchig. And the Pashto says you should only make milchik the first little bit. So we're machmer that also goes kedei kulo, because it's onions are sharp. So the belia goes even past kedei klipa. All kinds of chumras on a dovachar. So it would ask the whole flesh that the woman cooked for Shabbos. She had nothing to eat for Shabbos. So the Rav Chaim Volozhiner saw she was a very poor woman, and she was not going to have. She would be left with no food to eat for Shabbos. So she asked the shaila whether it's treif. So he asked her whether the onions were black shelled or brown shelled. So she said, no, they were brown shelled. She never saw black shelled onion. So he said that it's kosher. She can eat it. So she thanked him and she left quickly. She was afraid he was going to change his tzak. So she ran out and he went home. So then the Talmidim asked about Chaim Volozhiner, where did he get this from? Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? It's a difference between brown shelled onions and black shelled onions. So he says it doesn't say. What's in Shulchan Aruch is, Taisus here, the Tosis on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the last line in Agav Churfei Bola. So Tosis refers you to a Gemara in Ein Mamidim in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara talks about cutting a vegetable that's called Chiltis. chiltis is a very sharp vegetable, much sharper than onions. So Gemara says that if you cut chiltis with a treifa knife, so the treifa bliya goes in. Because even though everything is cold, everything is tzaynin, but agav churfe, so it's balea. So there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Does that chumra only apply to chiltis, very sharp vegetables? Or does it even apply to less sharp vegetables like onions? So the Rabbi Yosef Kar paskins l'chumra that even if it's onions, it also becomes treif. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin himself, he thinks that it's not so. But he doesn't have the chutzpah to paskin against Rabbi Yosef Kar. But he says Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Tzfas in the 1550s, 1540s. And in Eretz Yisrael, he claims, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin claimed, the onions are black-shelled, and he claims that black-shelled onions are sharper than brown-shelled onions. As we all know, that people with black hair have sharper heads than people with blonde hair. I have blonde hair. I don't know. So maybe he must have had black hair. He must have had black hair. So he said, so he's not against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch's talking about Israeli onions that are black-shelled. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything about the brown-shelled onions. So that's why he was makel for the woman. The Pashta says that's not the accepted psak. But the woman was an aniya. So if you have a big hefsed merubah, then you revert back to whatever is the ikar adin. When you have a hefsed merubah, so you don't distort the psak, you don't distort the halacha. But if the halacha is really lahokel, and we're machmer out of respect for Rabbi Yosef Kar, we machmer like his psak, so then if you have a mokam atchak, a shas hefsed merubah, so then you revert back to what the ikar adin should have been. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin held, ikar adin is not like the Shulchan Aruch. So for this woman, it was a hefsed merubah, so he was makel. So this is the Gemara, that there are differences for Dovah Charev. So we are machmen that Dovah Charev has a bliya b'tzoinen, even though nothing is hot. If you cut, if you have churfed the sakina, with the Dovah Charev, there's a bliya, and we're machmen that there's no kula vena ben yoimai, and we're also machmen, normally, if you would have two things touching, and one would be treif, one would be kosher, there would be a bliya because it's maliach, because it's sli, it's burning hot, or a heavy salt, we'll get to the Gemara soon, that it only gives a bliya a little bit, kedei klipa, a little bit more than kedei klipa, maybe kedei netila. The only time the bliya goes through and through is if you have bishul with reiter. So by davar charef and machmer that too, that the knife makes a bliya b'tzeinen, and there's no kula of not banat, and the bliya goes kedei kula. Not just kedei klipa, goes kedei kula. Chumras on top of chumras by the davar charef. The Prima Gadim has a discussion. Is this for real, or is this a chumra midirabbanan? Questionable. With all these chumras and the davar charef, is really a din d'oraisa? It's really tam k'iker? Maybe it's only he raises the possibility. That's the Prima Gadim always discusses that. Every time Shulchan Aruch quotes a din, he always questions, is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? It's important to know. Okay, so that's the Gemara.
What's his sort of be more machme, like Dukhvot and Sakina, Bidav HaKharif, more than being Mavasho? It's
the same as Bishul that it goes Kedei Kulo, but it's worse than Bishul in that Bishul, it would have had a heter of not Barnat. And that's one of the rice of the Rivon. How can you say the kula of not banat applies ayde bishul if davacharif there's no kula of not banat? So certainly ayde bishul. But the mechaber doesn't hold like the Rivon. Mechaber says ayde bishul there's still a din of not banat, and by the davacharif there's no kula of not banat. We consider davacharif even more chomer than bishul mamish. Chumris. Ayde churfe bala. Yeah, so the Gemara said that's only if he took a fleshig knife and he cut radishes with it. So radishes are considered davar charev, so the bliya goes through. Aval kishos, what if he cuts cucumber, something light vegetables, nothing charev at all? So then you just have to, if the knife had schmaltz on the surface, had shamnunis, so you're going to have schmaltz on the surface of the cucumbers. So the Gemara says gore lebe paske. You have to scrape off the surface of each slice of the cucumber and make sure that you don't have any, if you're going to hold it under the flowing water and the faucet of the water, so you won't be able to remove all of the schmaltz from the flesh that got stuck on the surface of the cucumber. Mar says, scrape off the surface. Gorer, the bay paske, scrape off the surface, then you can eat it. But milchitz, the cucumber is not balea, if it's tzainin, if it's cold, it's not balea with duchke de sakina. On Daf Ches on the base, there was one opinion in Taisus that Duch Kira Sakina applies even without a Davar Charev. Yeah, but I said in Shulchan Aruch says we're machmer for that. You should have a separate bread knife, a challah knife. You shouldn't use a fleshing knife to cut the bread or a milchig knife, because we're choshish for that opinion that if you're going to cut the bread with a fleshing knife, it'll make the slices fleshing. So the bread that's left over won't be able to be eaten with milchig. And if you're going to cut the bread with the milchig knife, it'll make the bread that's left behind milchig, and you won't be able to eat it with fleshing. So strictly speaking, we really don't hold like that. We pasken the only time there's a bli of the tzaynen is if there's duchir sakina plus davacharet. Just duchir sakina alone is not. But out of respect for that opinion and the balatosis on the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam quotes, that's why the minhag developed to have a separate bread knife, to be machmer for that opinion.
Does that apply for cake as well?
Probably.
It carries over also, that's why they don't have a milchiga bread.
Well, milchiga bread, we're afraid, the Gemara made a gzeir on that, we're afraid that someone will eat it with fleshings, yeah. Milchig bread is a gzeir, you may eat it with fleshings, right? In the days of the Gemara, they used to eat everything with bread. They used to eat six slices of bread and a little bit of flesh. Today, people don't eat so much bread. People don't eat so much bread. When we eat bread, we don't necessarily eat the bread together with the flesh. So that's a shayla. The gzeira de rabbanon that was made on the milchig bread, was it ever made on milchig cake also? Cake al pidin is also bread. It's pasabo bekisnin. If you eat enough cake, then you have to wash and say hamoitzi and bench. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the gzeira de rabbanon on the milchig bread goes on milchig cake also. You're not allowed a milchig cake unless it's a cheesecake. And you look at it and you smell it, you can tell it's a dead giveaway that it's milchig. Or if it has a simen on the cake, it's a different shape, or it smells differently, looks differently. But if you can't really tell, so he thought that the gzera de rabbanon that was made on the milchig bread carries over to the cake. And the Pischei Tshuva writes in Yeridaya, not so. He says the gzera only was made on bread because the minhag olam is that people eat the bread with the flesh. People eat the bread, so if it's milchig bread, you may be eating the milchig bread with the flesh. But cake, you don't eat the cake with the flesh. After you finish eating the meal, then you eat the cake. So even if you have, by mistake, even if you'll eat milchig cake after fleshiks, so the ganz avera will be that you didn't wait 6 hours. So the 6 hours is a minig from the days of the Gemara, it's a minig, but it's not a real din. Not the same as eating milchig with fleshiks. The real is that the rice is to eat milchigs and fleshiks that were cooked together. But if you eat both in the same meal, that's an isa de rabbanon. But if you eat milchig cake after having a fleshig meal within an hour, within 3 hours or 6 hours, whatever the minig is, so you violated the minig. So you can't say that there's a gzeira on that. That's what the Pischei Tshuva says, that it's okay to have milchig cakes.
I once heard that Rashi is machmir that the maitzi that we make on bread, which covers many aspects of the food, has to be the type of food that would normally eat with the bread.
Right, Rashi's opinion in Brachas, when we learn Brachas, Rashi's opinion in Maseches Brachas is that when you say Hamoitzi, it only covers all the courses in the meal that you eat with the bread. If you eat bread in the beginning, and then you have soup, and then you have vegetable salad, and then you have gefilte fish, and then you have fleishiks and kugel and everything, so Rashi's sheet is, you have to say a bracha in each and every meichel, only if you eat it with the bread. And Tosfos disagrees with the Rashi. Tosfos says you don't have to eat it with the bread. Even if you eat, as long as you're eating a part of a meal that fills you up. This is a course in the meal that fills you up. If you eat a candy bar, you eat a chocolate bar in the middle of the meal, that's not a course in the meal. If you have a regular meal, a person drinks a cup of schnapps in the middle, it has nothing to do with filling you up. He wants to have a drink. So then on the schnapps you have to say a separate bracha. On the chocolate bar, that's not called Dvarim Haboyim Machmas Asuda. That's not a course in the meal that you eat to fill you up.
The bread covers everything, no?
The bread covers everything that's Dvar Mahaboy Machma Sasuda. Only covers the courses in the meal. The course says that you eat it to fill yourself up. It has nutrition and it fills you up. But if you eat something in the middle of the meal, let's say you have you ate the whole meal, then at the end you have a cake. So if you're still hungry and the cake is eaten in order to fill you up, then it's another course in the meal. So you don't have to say Bar Minim Zainas. But if the person is not hungry, he went to a wedding and he ate as much as five people would eat. He ate like a horse, and then he's not hungry at all at the end. And then he has a piece of cake. Piece of cake is not Dvarim Haboyim Machmas Hasuda. So then he has to say a Bar Minim Zainas on the cake, unless the cake is a Safek Hamoitzi that says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a different opinions in the Rishonim. When is a cake considered a cake that it's mezonos, and when do you still consider it hamotzi? So the different opinions. No, no. So the some are of the opinion only pas habot bikisnin comes miloshim kiss if it has a pocket. Means if you have dough on top, dough on the bottom, and you have the apple pie, you have apple filling. Kiss means a filling in a pocket. So you have dough on top, dough on the bottom, the crust on top, crust on the bottom. Then you have cherries in the middle, berries or apples, so that's a kiss. But if you have another kind of a cake, coffee cake or something, that doesn't really have a filling in the middle, so that's really hamotzi. So if you have cake at the end of the meal, that's a sofik hamotzi, even if you're stuffed, and you're eating the cake just for a snack. So if you would have eaten the cake separately, not part of the meal, we would be makel to say it's probably mezonos. They're different opinions. When is it mezonos? When is it amotzi? So we go lehokel. The whole topic is only the rabbanon, where they say mezonos amotzi. So we go lekula. You don't have to wash, and you don't have to say amotzi, you don't have to bench bechus amazon. We would go lekula. But here, lekula is fakert. I said amotzi in the beginning of the meal, and then I stuffed myself, I ate a whole meal. Then I have cake at the end, I'm not hungry. So I have cake at the end. So the din requires you have to say mezonos if it's a vaday mezonos. If it's a safik hamotzi, so safik brachas l'okal, maybe it was covered with the hamotzi that I said in the beginning of the meal. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rabbi Kiveger. If you had a cake at the end of the meal, that's a safik hamotzi, safik mezonos. So then you should bedavka not say a bracha even though you're not hungry. So Moshe Feinstein says about all the cakes that we have today in America, they have so much sugar in them. The way they make most of the cakes in America have so much sugar, so that's considered like a packet that l'chol adeis, that's bar minim zayin. That's a mezonos vana. Once in a while you have a cake that's that doesn't have so much sugar.
They have sugar-free cakes.
Okay.
No, but he's fine, it's the same thing. You don't hold from that if Americans always look and always have dessert and that has anything to do with whether you make a mezonos or not?
Nah, the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is not so. Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that even though the minhag hamakom is that everybody has a cake at the end of the meal, but it's eaten as a nash, it's eaten as a snack. It's not really dvar ma'boy machmas
asud. It's part of the meal because everyone has it, therefore it isn't part of the meal. You don't hold from that
svar ha'bam? I don't think so. No. It's not part of the meal. What?
About like a donut or a sufganiyah, which is dry.
I mean, that's a vaday mezonos.
Right.
That's a vaday mezonos, right. So if you're still hungry and you eat the donut at the end of the meal in order to fill yourself up, so then it's one of the courses in the meal. I'm still hungry. But if you're not hungry and just eating it for the snack, as a for the flavor, so then it's a vaday mezonos. And then you should say mezonos at the end of the meal. What?
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
How stuffed
does it
have to be?
No, even if a person ate so much at a wedding that they're going to serve dessert, so he'll always eat the dessert. That's what the Gemara says. There's always room, even though there's no room to eat another steak, they serve. We have an extra steak, we have an extra kugel. A guy says, I'm up to my nose, I can't eat anything. But then when they serve the ice cream, and they serve the cake, he does have. But he said he doesn't have any room. So that's what the Gemara says. There's always room for besume. Rav chala besume shchich. There's always room for a snack, for a nash. No. There's room for the snack, but it's not dvar ma'boy machmas asuda. It's not a course in the meal. What was the debate in Europe was if you have cooked fruits at the end of the meal. If you have cooked fruits, if you have raw fruits at the end of the meal, and it's eaten as a snack, then you say bar peretz. So if you have cooked fruits, and maybe that's like soup, maybe that's like another course in the meal. So the meaning is that you serve it at the end, that it serves as a snack, serves as a dessert. So that was a machlokes in Europe. If the meaning always is to give cooked fruits at the end of the meal, kompot, so maybe that's considered a course in the meal. And that's one of the issues that the Meiri wrote up in his Morgan Ovis when the Ramban passed away, so that the Ramban lived in Girona, in Spain. So when he passed away, so the Talmidim of the Ramban, they were classmates with the Rashba, so they didn't want to listen to his shiurim. So they decided the grass is green on the other side. So they went to Provence. So they started Gansen and Machlekes in there because they had different shitas. They had different minhagim from the minhag in Provence. So the Meiri wrote a whole sefer. Meiri lived in Provence. So he wrote a whole sefer Magen Avos to defend the Minhag HaBosav that was for Dori Doris and Pravat. So this was one of the one issue, the famous issue was where they say Kel Melech Nemon when you start Kriyat Shema. Yeah, that's one of the essays. And then another essay is when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday. When do you say Havdalah? Or do you say Havdalah on Hamatzoy Shabbos and you give the wine to a Tinoik? Do you say Havdalah, or you don't say Havdalah at all? Or you say Havdalah on Sunday night? That's our practice, Havdalah on Sunday night. Different opinions. And then one of the 24 issues that he wrote about was this. If you have dessert at the end of the meal, cooked fruits, and you always serve the dessert, is it considered like Dvar Mahaboy Machmas Hasuda or not? So that was the Machlokes, Dere Deres, generations after generations. There were different opinions of that.
Shmorgisburg is separated with the meal. It has nothing to do with the meal. With the main meal,
if the person did, he didn't wash yet.
Yeah, you're okay. This is a separate thing.
Yeah. The proper thing is he should say Baruch HaChayin on the Smorgasbord because it's going to be a long pause. He's going to go from one room to the other room to the other room. So he should really say Baruch HaFoshes, so whatever Baruch HaChayin is needed after he stuffs himself in the Smorgasbord. And then he should say another Baruch HaLeina. Okay.
Something like
apples.
I don't know if I think
maybe
you should ever say the piece of bread in the
applesauce
so you don't have a
child
make a bracha.
If you eat it with bread, then it's called Dvar Mahaboy Machmas Hasuda. You make it into Dvar Mahaboy. If you eat it together with bread, yeah. So here the Gemara is talking about the blia going into the radishes. The radish is a davar charif. So if you cook the radish with a fleishig knife, so it makes the radish fleishig, then you shouldn't cook that radish now with milchigs. Aval kisha is on the top line. But if you cut cucumbers, you cut tomatoes, you cut lettuce or celery, whatever, cut other vegetables, there's no problem. Just scrape off whatever schmaltz may have been on the surface of the knife. The scrape off the schmaltz from the surface of the vegetable and shine. The vegetable will be part of it. Then you can eat it with milchiks, no problem. Kilcha de lifto shori. That's a normal vegetable. If you cut lefis, all kinds of vegetables, so that they don't pose a problem, only if it's a davar charif. If you're cutting silka is beets, so then asiri. If you cut beets with a fleshig knife, so beets is considered davar charif, so it'll make it fleshig. So then the Gemara says, but if you keep on alternating, I have a fleshig knife, and I cut beets, then I cut cucumbers, then I cut beets, then I cut cucumbers, then I cut beets, I keep on alternating. Every other time I cut beets, every other time I cut cucumbers, so then the Gemara says, "V'pasach b'hu, the lifto shapadami." If he blends it a little bit, lefis into the radishes. Every other time he uses the knife, it's going to be for the lefis, which is a neutral vegetable. And every other time, it's going to be with the sharp vegetable. So then, we're not concerned about the duchkir sakina making a bliya into the radishes because it. Every other time I'm using it on a cucumber, so it's going to schwach up, it's going to weaken the flavor of the radish, and it's not going to be nivla. So now the Gemara has a shaila. Boy, Meneir, Abdimim, Rav Nachman, one of the Rabbanim asked the other one, what's the din? Ma'ula nuchi, kadin de milcha. They didn't have a salt shaker. They had, like many people have today, you have a container with salt and it's open. So you're going to have the same container on the table for fleshiks and milch is going to be a problem. You're going to be doing milchiks and some of the milk may fall into the salt. And then you may take some of that salt and use it for fleshiks. So some of the fleshik schmaltz may fall into the salt. If you have the salt shaker, your life is much safer. Nothing is falling in. Okay, life is. Huh?
Put the hand inside. You put the hand.
Yeah, yeah.
My shveh
is not, but
he has two separate
soldiers. Okay.
Is that any
good? Okay. So the Gemara has a shayla, Maula nuchi kare de milcha gabi kare de kamka. Then a milchig meichel, a milchig dressing that they would pour on vegetables, I guess, some kind of a salad dressing. It had a little milk in it. So is it permissible to have this milchig dressing in a bowl right next to the bowl that has the salt in it? Do you have to be concerned that maybe some of the milk from the milk dressing is going to fall into the salt? Amalei also says it's not permissible. That's not right because you have to be concerned some of the milk will fall in. What about the chalamai? Are you permitted to have this milk salad dressing next to a bowl that has vinegar in it? because the vinegar also is going to pour some of the vinegar into flesh, some of the vinegar is going to pour into milchiks. So do you have to be concerned that some of the milk from the milchik dressing will fall into the vinegar? Zaktam shari. He said, that's okay. So the Gemara says, it doesn't make sense. Maishna. Why is there a difference? How come you're only concerned that the milchik salad dressing is going to fall into the salt, and you're not concerned that it's going to fall into the vinegar? It's exactly the same shaila. So he says, I'm only going to tell you if you do some service for me. A very strange Gemara. V'chitechal Allah kura de milcha. If you measure, that's one pshat. There are different ways to read this line of the Gemara. So he tells him, if you'll measure for me a little bit of salt, a measurement of salt, do me some services, and then I'll tell you the answer. So he says, my time, he does the service for him, and then he says, what's taka, the distinction? So he says, the difference is like this. If you have salt, salt is tangible particles. So if the milk is going to fall in, the milk is going to be noticeable. And you're going to forget that it has milk there, and you're going to take that stuff that has milk, and you're going to eat it with flesh. But if the milchik salad dressing is going to fall into the bowl with the vinegar, it's going to dissolve in the vinegar. The thing is a liquid. It's not like salt, that it's tiny little particles. The milk that's going to fall into the vinegar will be bottled, and it won't be nice and tame. So therefore, there's no problem. If the milk from the salad dressing is going to fall into the salt, it's going to be sitting there, and it won't dissolve anywhere. But high, in the other case, when the milk may possibly fall into the vinegar, it'll dissolve over there, so it won't be any problem. Sure. Okay. So moral of the story is, we got to be careful. Maybe have two salt shakers, flesh and milk. Got to be careful that some people use the salt shaker, and they have the tip of the salt shaker is touching the flesh itself. So then you have in the hotels a lot of times, you have like that, little kids do it like that. So you have the top of the salt shaker has cheese on it, or has flesh on it. Then they use the same salt shaker for the other meal. So that's what the Gemara says, you got to be careful about that. Now the Gemara has a shaila, what happened? Hahu bar goizlo. There was a chicken or a duck, whatever. The nafala kara de kamka. They had this milchik salad dressing on the table, and it's very salty, and a piece of chicken fell in, and it's sitting there for a couple of minutes. So the shaila is, does it become basa b'cholov? Even though everything is cold, and usually we say that there's no bliya b'tzainin, but we have a klal, if the thing is very salty, so then maliach kiraseach, if it's salty, there will be a bliya between one and the other. So this kara de kamka, this container that has this milchik salad dressing in it, it's a pretty salty stuff. It has a tangy flavor to it. So the Gemara says, the yester shayla, shariyeh rav chinin lebrei deravim pashrunyeh. So he was mata, shariyeh mata, he paskin lehokel. So Omar Rava, so Rava was praising this Moira Hairoa, ooh, givaldik, he's such a big Talmud Chacham, man chakam lemishri, ki hai gavna, ilav rav chinin lebrei deravim pashrunyeh. You have to be a big Talmud Chacham, a big Chacham, to be able to be mekel. In this case, like this Chacham Rav Chinin Bei Derava, what was his Svara Lahakel? What happened to the rule of Maliach Kiraseach? It is pretty salty. The salad dressing has a salty flavor to it. Kosovar, he's of the opinion, and he's right. That's how he paskin. Ki Amar Shmuel Maliach Kiraseach. When does Shmuel's rule apply? That Maliach makes a Nesina Stam, just like if you would be broiling two things together, like Rasech Hani Mil Hechadena Nechel Machmas Molchoy. That's it, was so salty, it tastes, you got to burn your tongue if you're going to eat it. Aba Hai Kutcha, but the Kutach, the salad dressing that has the milk in it, Hari Nechel Machmas Molchoy, people eat it the way it is. There's no problem over here. So since it's Nechel Machmas Molchoy, it's not salty enough that you should apply the rule of Maliach Keresech. Yeah, but the piece of duck or the piece of chicken was sitting there in the salad dressing, so you have to wash it off. You rinse it off, you turn on the faucet, and you rinse off all of the salad dressing and shine. There's no, if it would have been Maliach Kereseach, it wouldn't help to rinse it off. The blea would have been absorbed. But since Maliach Kereseach doesn't apply, because you can eat it the way it is, so you don't apply Maliach Kereseach. So you just wash it off. So this is the Shaila. That's not salty enough. So how salty does it have to be that you should apply Maliach Kereseach? So that's a machlekes and taisus. Here's the taisus. Hani mili dechen ena nech machmas molchoy. So taisus quotes a bala taisus. This is very unusual. In the days of the bala taisus, someone had two names. Today it's very common. Someone has two names, three names, four names. I think Karlbach gave his two daughters each four names. Okay. So this, in the days of Balatay, is very unusual. They had a Yankev Yisrael. Rav Ben Yankev Yisrael, Hiter Pamachas, Gigas Malaya Bosesh, Nimlecha Yofim Chatichas Nevela. They salted kosher flesh with Nevela flesh. They made a mistake. And then after they salted it, they realized, oh, this was from the non-kosher flesh. This we want to sell for the goyim, and this is the kosher flesh. But they salted it all together. So the shaila was, it's an awful lot of salt. It's an awful lot of salt. You can't eat, no one would want to eat the flesh with all of that salt. After you finish salting the flesh to remove all of the dam, then you rinse off all of the salt. It's going to be too salty. So you don't eat the flesh the way it is. So he paskin lahakel, that's not called ein nechmach masmolcha. So how salty does it have to be? So he quotes from a Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey. You see where it says Klal Gadol Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey. Hai madna malach bisra b'Shabbos. If a person salts flesh, chai mishum ba'abed. If you take the hide of an animal, you shecht an animal, that's a malacha hashochei. Then if you mafshit, if you detach the hide from the flesh of the animal, that's another malacha mafshit. And after you detach the hide, then you treat it with chemicals and you convert it into leather to make a jacket, or you convert it into parchment that you can write something on it. So that's another malacha of ma'abed, to apply chemicals to the hide to convert it to be leather that can make a pair of shoes or whatever.
Tanning.
So that's a malacha ma'abed. So the first opinion in the Gemara was that if you salt meat, that's also ma'abed, because the salt, you put so much salt, it has an effect on the meat. So the Gemara says we don't paskin like that, because a ma'abed b'eichlin, there's no malacha ma'abed. But even that opinion, who thought that there is a malacha mukila, the Gemara says is only talking the boy le'urcha. He wants to preserve it for a long time. They didn't have a freezer, so how do they preserve it that it shouldn't get spoiled? So they used to put in so much salt that it was gefelach. It was way too much salt. Aval lebesa, but if a person salts the flesh in order to take out the blood, then the Gemara says no one in his right mind would ever say that that's a malacha ma'abe. We don't paskin like this either. Even if you salt flesh le'urcha, urcha means for the road. You're salting the flesh to preserve it, that it should last longer. But we would put it in the freezer. They would put it with a lot of salt. So the Rabbeinu Yankev Yisrael is of the opinion that the only time we say Maliach Kiraseach is a Moiradik Emekel. The only time we say Maliach Kiraseach is if you put so much salt that this would serve as a preserver. It would preserve the meat. But if you salt it like we salt flesh in order to take out the blood, that's not enough to be called Dein Anach Malas Mocha. So Rabbeinu Tam on the second line rips him apart. He says against all the Gemaras. Kasha the Rabbeinu Tam. Every single Gemara where the Gemara applies a Malach Kiraseach is talking they salted the flesh in order to take out the blood. They're not talking they salted it in order to preserve it for a longer period of time. So we pass, we're machma like the Rabbeinu Tam on this. That's called, if you have the salad dressing, you eat it the way it is. That's Necha Machma Smolcha. So that's not Malach Kiraseach. But if you salted flesh like we salted in order to remove the blood, that's Eina Nech Machmas Mocha. No one in his right mind would eat the meat the way it is. Now, of course, you're going to have to wash off all the salt. So that would make Maliach Kereseach.
If you say Maliach Kereseach, how does Maliach ever work? I mean, if we're saying that it's not Maliach the blood when you're doing the Maliach, then why should be Kereseach and anything is Nifa? Is there any machalik between blood and other things? How does
Malicha
ever work?
How does Malicha work to remove the blood?
If you're doing multiple pieces together, I mean, if it's Malicha, whatever you said that Dom, once you're doing Malicha, you're not being Balea the blood from another Chaticha. But if at the same time you're saying Malicha, then you are being Balea.
No, that's another Klal, the Gemara says. Agav the Tard Lemiflat Loi Bala. When the flesh is giving off Dom, so it's not going to be Balea any other Dom. But if I put kosher flesh next to trefa flesh by mistake, the trefa nevela or trefa I wanted to sell to the non-Jews, and by mistake I salted it together with the kosher flesh, so then the kosher flesh is giving off the dam. It won't be balei any dam, but it'll still be balei l'shamnunis from the trefa flesh. So it'll become trefa because of the trefa blit. But Malich Kiraseach only asks the outer kedei klipa. Outer kedei klipa means You can't take a knife and scrape off a little bit the surface. You have to cut off so much. No, that's called kedei netila. Kedei klipa, you have to scrape off the surface. You have to scrape off the outer surface. Yeah.
Someone asked me a shayla about the tuna fish.
Yeah.
They catch tuna, they throw it into the whole surface. And sometimes, if some trapha fish, like a porpoise, whatever, gets mixed in, and the salt, they put a lot of salt in the surface when they get back to the factory.
Right.
So is there a problem that the trapha fish is being sold together with the tuna?
If the mitzvahs would be like that, that they would put the trapha fish together in the salt brine.
It's just when they catch it, it goes into the hole.
It doesn't go right away into the hole, because they know they're not going to get a penny, they're not going to get a chotzi pruta for the trapha fish. So they throw it out right away. They throw it back into the ocean. They don't throw it into the salt to preserve. That's true. They do throw it into a vat of salty water to preserve it, but they only throw in the kosher fish. The trefa fish they throw out right away. My brother-in-law does hashgacha work for the OU. So he says he was on the boat many times. He says they never throw in the trefa fish to get the people have chalayma. So they imagine in their mind what that probably happens. My brother-in-law goes on the boat and he says that's not what happens. They don't throw in. They don't bring in the trefa because they know they're not going to get any money for it. They're interested in business. Yeah. So then the Gemara discusses what happened over here. A piece of raw duck, bar goizlap, raw chicken, raw duck, whatever, fell into the milchig salad dressing. And it was sitting there for a few minutes. So this Rava, who was it? Rav Chinan Abed Rava Mipashrunya, he was a big chacham, and he came up with this chiddush that since the salad dressing is edible the way it is, you don't have to dilute it, so it's not salty enough to declare Malach Keresech. If it would have been saltier, then the piece of duck that fell in would have become treif, even if it doesn't soak for 24 hours. I would say Malach Keresech, it would become treif. So Zog Digmar, Bahari Mili, in this cooler that we just said, they just wash off the piece of duck, only applies because it wasn't Malach Keresech, because it was not salty. This only applies if the piece of duck was chai, if it's raw. Abotzli, what if it was already broiled from before, and then it falls in, a broiled piece of duck falls into, broiled piece of flesh, falls into the salad dressing, then boy klipo. So then we say that because it was broiled, so the flesh becomes more absorbent, the flesh of the duck becomes more absorbent, then it won't help to wash off. You won't succeed in getting all of the milchig salad dressing off of it by holding on to the faucet of running water. You have to scrape off the outer kedei klipa. Or the Gemara says, you only scrape off kedei klipa, the outer surface. What happens if it is bepile? What if it has cracks here and there? So then you have to be concerned that blia goes even further in. Then kulei osa, then the whole thing is osa. Or what if it doesn't have any cracks in it, but it was treated with tavlin, with spices? It's very spicy. The metuvah, the tavlin, then avaita kuli asa. Then the whole thing will be asa, because the tavlin will cause it to be more absorbent. More absorbent. So in 2 minutes, we're afraid it'll absorb the milk, and you won't be able to get all the milk out by holding it under the faucet of running water. All this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a shaila. What if I had a piece of meat, and I broiled the meat. I cooked the meat. I broiled the meat, let's say. I broiled the meat. If I salted the meat, let's say I have a big piece of meat so big, and I put salt on all the top and the bottom and the four sides, the salt is not going to affect the middle piece if it's so. It's not going to affect at all. But that's kach nemer halacha. That's the din. The blood in the capillaries, the blood that's inside, I'm not talking about blood in the blood vessels in the veins or the arteries, I'm talking about blood in the capillaries. So you're allowed to eat the flesh raw like that. Then we had a tesis in the first parak. Dami varm shelo pirish is mutter. It's called moel habasa. That's the juice of the meat. If I take the meat and I squeeze out all the blood, then you're not allowed to drink the blood. Or if I'm going to take a piece of meat, I never salted it, I'm going to cook it the way it is. So the blood will go out from the piece of meat into the liquid in the pot into the soup, then it's going to go back from the soup, so I can't drink the soup, then it's going to go back from the soup into the piece of flesh. So that'll be Dami Varm Shapirish. But let's say I have a raw piece of meat and I didn't salt it, and I broil it. I didn't broil it so well, and there's still blood left inside. So strictly speaking, I can eat the piece of meat the way it is. I could have eaten the raw piece of meat the way it is. That's Dami Varm Shalap Pirish. Whatever went out, whatever didn't go out is Dami Varm Shalap Pirish is Mutter. Well, let's say I take a piece of meat that was broiled, partially broiled. If it's fully broiled, so it has no more, whatever blood remains behind is considered Moel Abasa. It's Het HaGomer, there's no problem. But I broiled a piece of meat not fully broiled, and it still has a little blood in it. So I'm allowed to eat the piece of meat the way it is. Whatever blood remains behind is not a problem. But if I'm going to put the piece of meat that's half done and half not done, I'm going to put a piece of meat on a loaf of bread, and then I'm going to cut the piece of meat, so then by the duchke de sakina, I'm going to be kvetching, I'm going to be squeezing out some of the blood that was originally inside the piece of meat. So to eat the meat the way it is, that's muta dame varm shalap pirish is muta. But now that the blood goes onto the bread, that's dame varm shalap pirish. Then you're not allowed to eat it. So that's a b'nei Gemara quotes from Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. He says in the name of Shmuel, kikar, a loaf of bread, shechot ochal abasar. I cut a piece of flesh that was half broiled and not fully broiled. I cut a piece of flesh on top of the loaf of bread. Also liochla, you're not allowed to eat the piece of bread even with flesh. Not that it becomes flesh, you can't eat it with milchik. That's a different din. That's the gzeira. You're not allowed to have fleshy bread, you're not allowed to have milchik bread. That's a different din. But here we're talking, you're not allowed to eat the bread, period, because of the dam. Because of dam, to eat the piece of flesh is mutter, because whatever dam remains behind is dam ivarm shalot pirish, is mutter. I label it as moela basa. Apparently not. That's also called dam ivarm. When you chew it, there's dukkah of the teeth. Apparently that's not a problem. But if I'm going to have this broiled meat on the plate and I'm going to cut it, so then the duchkir sakin is going to squeeze out part of the blood. So if I broiled it sufficiently, the way the halacha says, Kemichel Bender is saying, the shlish bishula chatzi bishuloi, then we declare that whatever blood remains behind is moel abasa het hagomer. But we're talking here, he didn't broil it sufficiently. It's not sufficiently broiled. So to eat the piece of meat, to cut it on the plate, so the dam on the plate is going to become asa. But the chew in your mouth apparently is mutter. I declare that's moel abasa. So he says, if you cut this piece of meat that's half raw, half broiled, on top of a loaf of bread, so the loaf of bread becomes treif because of the blood that went through. It's only obviously if the piece of bread became reddish. If it didn't become reddish, it became fleshy, but it doesn't become treif. Only if the blood went through and through. Let's say I have a whole loaf of bread, and the blood went a little bit into the bread, didn't go all the way through to the other end. So then we declare that's moel abasa. That's not considered. You don't even have to cut it off. No. If it doesn't succeed in going through the loaf of bread, then we declare that it's not really blood. Right. So even though it's red, we say that's moel abasa. And also b'hani mili d'asmeche, only if it's thick, only if the stuff that's coming out seems to be thick, then it's blood. If it's very thin, avol klishasa. But if it's thin, leislambor, I consider that moel abasa. I assume that I did a good job in broiling the flesh, and there's no more dam left. Whatever is left is moel abasa. Shmuel shodei lelikabu. When Shmuel will cut, Shmuel sometimes would cut a piece of steak on top of a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread would get red, so he would throw it to his dog. Shodei lelikabu, he'd throw it to the dog. He wouldn't want to give it to any Jewish people. Ashay lefin dam. And Rav Huna was a later Amora, Yaiv Lei Lishame. He gave it to a Yiddish Gabbai that he had. Frag Dimar, but he was a Yid. So Manam Shach, if it's kosher, so why doesn't he eat it? And if he doesn't eat it because he thinks it's trey, how does he give it to the Yid that's Lifneiver? But he's not a religious, the Gabbai is not religious. So it's an Isa Lifneiver. Frag Dimar, Manam Shach, what kind of a practice is that? E Shari, if it's Mutter, is Lekuli Alma Shari, why doesn't he eat it? And he also, if it's Trey, if he does my name, is Lekuli Alma Asa, so it's Lif Neiver. And for the Gemara, no, the dinner said it's Mutter. He was a Mefunik. He was going to throw up if he's going to eat something that tastes like blood. strictly speaking, is muta, but his gabbai was not a mefunik. Shani rafuna danina daita. He was a mefunik, so that's why he didn't want to eat. But strictly speaking, it wasn't treif because the broiling process was completed. Just like if you salt such a gigantic piece of meat and you let it sit for a half an hour and then you wash it off, the salting process will not affect he who's there, the middle part of the meat, but that's the halacha. You salted it and it's kosher. So if you broil the meat, then it's shlish bishuloi on top and on the bottom. Sometimes you broil the meat, so the bottom part that's near the fire, that's already yigil l'maichel ben derusoi, that's shlish bishuloi, but the top part is still raw. So there's still going to be dam coming out from the top part. That's going to be a problem. But if you broiled it well, the top and the bottom, everything was broiled, shlish bishula, whatever red liquid remains behind, that's moel habosa, that's the juice of the meat, and that's not a problem.
Isn't this a permitting that Jews don't own dogs?
The Jews always own dogs. If they had farms, they had to have dogs to help out on the farm. The Gemara says an almana shouldn't have a dog, because the Gemara says, because people may be chayshe there. Since her husband died, and she's hungry for relations with a male, so she may be having relations with the dog. So mishum chashash marisai, no one should be chayshe there, and almana shouldn't raise a dog. But nishkin almana can raise a dog. I don't know.
This applies also to liver. The same thing as the meat.
Same thing to liver. If you broil the liver, shlish bishulai. So then whatever dam remains behind is mutter. And if you didn't do it, sometimes in the butcher shop, they broil the liver, so they singe the outside, and the inside is mamish raw. So that's a problem. That's a problem. The inside is still raw, so the dam, that's not called Michael Ben Derusoi. On the outside is mamish broiled, burnt, and the inside is raw. But if they did it, if they roasted it properly, and the whole thing is evenly broiled, it's Higil, the Michael Ben Derusoi. There was a gangster in the days of the Gemara. He was always running away from the police. So he would always broil his flesh, shlish bishuloi, chatzi bishuloi, and he would gobble down the supper, and then he would run away to hide somewhere else. He was always afraid he's going to get caught by the police. So the Gemara calls that Michael Ben Derusoi. The way this gangster, Ben Derusoi, used to eat his Michael. Rav Soloveitchik always used to make a mistake. He always said, Michael, Reb Dustoi. He made the ganaf into a tana. There was a tana, Reb the story. Okay. The Gemara says, Rava Ochale, Rava used to eat this juice, because Rava broiled the flesh properly, and Alpidin, whatever red blood is left, of course it's blood, whatever blood is left behind, Alpidin is mutas moila basar. So he used to eat the red stuff, the korele, chamar, basar, this is the juice. This is the wine. Chamra is wine. This is the wine of the flesh. This is the juice of the flesh. Strictly speaking, it's mutter. Then we had on the previous daf, the Gemara said, in the days of the Gemara, till very recently, they used to consider schmaltz as being very healthy. So they would be broiling chicken, they were broiling flesh that had a lot of schmaltz, so the blood would go down. The blood they have to throw out. And the schmaltz that goes down also they throw out. So they used to have a practice. At a certain point, after enough blood went down, so then they would put so whatever comes down now is no longer blood, so then you can put a container on the bottom to collect the schmaltz that's dripping down, and the blood that it mixes with, that's moila basa, that's okay. What happens if you put the container on the bottom too early, and it's collecting both schmaltz, which is kosher, and blood, which is treif, so the blood is going to make the schmaltz treif. So the Gemara has a chemical procedure that existed in the days of the Gemara. We don't know how to apply it today. That they used to put a precise amount of salt to separate all of the blood from the schmaltz. And if you separate every single mashu, every single speck of blood from the schmaltz, and the schmaltz, even though it was treif because it had a bliya of dam in it, burning hot dam was dripping down together with the schmaltz and sitting in the container on the bottom, and it became treif. But if you have a chemical procedure whereby you remove every speck of the blood, then the schmaltz becomes kosher again. So that's what the Gemara is discussing over here.
Did you use that kind of that theory on, let's say, if you can separate the ethyl soap on some chemicals, you take the milk right out after it became the veilah?
No. Yeah. So basa b'chalav, if you cooked flesh with milk, and then you had a chemical procedure where you succeeded in removing every single speck of milk, so that's the shach. Has a machlokes about that, Simon Tzadikei. That was a machlokes. Because basa b'chalav may be mochamer. Basa b'chalav, that's exactly what the issur is. So the Shach holds la locha that once it became bas v'chalav, even if you can remove every speck, every mashu of milk, once it became bas v'chalav, it remains. But here we're talking about shari sur, not bas v'chalav. So shari sur, this is beferish in the Gemara, that if you remove every single speck, that's what Tosis spells out of here. If you remove every single speck of the treifas, not just that now there's so little treifas that it's no longer nice and tam in the kosher. You removed every speck of the treifas, so then it'll be muta. What happens if you only removed so much treifas that now you have shishim against the treifas? So that's a shaila. That should have been the shaila of chaticha nas nevela b'shari sur. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, should have been muta. So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Even Rabbeinu Ephraim, who doesn't believe in chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim, but osa chaticha remains us. You don't need shishim against the whole chaticha. If I have a chaticha of kosher flesh and it has a bli of treifa flesh in it, and then it falls into a pot, so you only need shishim keneged the volume of treifas that's in the chaticha. You don't need, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, you don't need shishim keneged the whole chaticha. But that chaticha itself, since initially when the treifas was nivla into that chaticha, there was no shishim, even though now I'm going to cook it in a big pot with much more food, and now for sure I have shishim in that chaticha against the treifas shabo. So the Mechaber writes, in Rabbeinu Ephraim would aser over there. That's a question whether
the meat?
No, but I said that one chaticha.
That chaticha, the Rabbeinu Ephraim was asked, no. You can't undo it.
Right. Let's say
that's
have. Right. Rabbeinu Ephraim is more machman than Rabbeinu Ephraim. Hey, let's say I have a piece of meat, kosher meat, and by mistake I cooked it in a pot full of blood. So it becomes treif. I cooked it with blood. It becomes treif. But how much blood is there? There's one spoonful of blood. And the piece of meat is a big piece of meat. So the piece of meat is much bigger than a spoonful of blood. All the blood was absorbed in the piece of meat. So now when this piece of meat falls into another pot full of meat, so you don't want it to ask in the next pot. You have to have shishim keneged how much? So the Rabbeinu Tam says you have to have shishim against the whole chaticha. The whole chaticha is kosher. The only thing that's treif is a spoonful of blood. So most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam. Most of the Rishonim hold like the Rabbeinu Ephraim that you only need shishim keneged the spoonful of blood. You don't need shishim keneged the whole chaticha. So that's called chaticha nas nevela bishari surim. Do you say chaticha atzma, the whole chaticha may not be eaten? So Rabbeinu Tam says therefore you need shishim against the whole chaticha. And Rabbeinu Ephraim and most of the Rishonim hold not. So it's enough if you have shishim against the spoonful of blood. So the Mechaber Paschim like the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rov HaRishonim hold like the Rabbeinu Ephraim. You don't say Chaticha Nas Nevela B'Sharisim. And the Ramah, for Ashkenazim, the Ramah is Machma like the Rabbeinu Tam. So now the Mechaber says, even though I Paschim like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, then when this Chaticha falls into a big pot full of soup, you don't need Shishim, can I get the whole Chaticha, just can I get the spoonful of blood. But you do say Chaticha Nas Nevela, when you get to that Chaticha itself. Even though now it's going to cook for a long time, and the spoonful of blood is going to be evenly distributed in the whole pot. And by now, the end of the cooking procedure, by mistake. You didn't mix it in the mezah, the same about the nisim l'chatchila, everything was by mistake. So after everything gets cooked, he realizes now that the chaticha originally didn't have shishim against the spoonful of blood, but now has way more than shishim. So the Mechaber, I see, even Rabbeinu Ephraim would agree that chaticha atzma, Nisher is b'yisura. The original chaticha remains also. Why? Because originally when it absorbed the blood, there was no shishim. And then later on, the blood spread evenly in the rest of the pot, so that doesn't help. Because ein bitul ela b'tchilas hataruvis. The tchilas hataruvis was when the spoonful of blood got absorbed into the chaticha. At that time, it wasn't bottled, there was no shishim, so it's not going to help later on if you're going to have shishim.
But they both told that the Rabbeinu Tam and that this chaticha is also.
Rabbi Yosef Kara writes like that, that even the Rabbeinu Ephraim agrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, chaticha atzma nisher is b'yisura. Right. And the machlekes between them only was when you get to calculating shishim, when you get to be mevatel what's going to come out from this chaticha to the rest of the pot. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, you only need shishim against the spoonful of blood. What do you need shishim against the whole chaticha? The whole chaticha is kosher. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you need shishim, can't get a whole carrier of the yisr. And the Rabbah is machmer like Rabbeinu Tam. Even though Rabbeinu Tam was minority opinion here, Rabbeinu Ephraim was the majority. Rav Harishanim hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim.
So, Rabbeinu Ephraim, the chatik itself is always awesome. It didn't fall into anything.
If it didn't fall into. Well, it didn't fall for korsets also. I didn't have shishim in the chaticha against the dam. I had a spoonful of blood and it's nice and tam in the chaticha. But the chiddush that Rabbi Yosef Kara writes is, even after the chaticha cook continues to cook in another pot, and the dam spreads evenly, and by now I know for sure I do have shishim in the original chaticha against the little bit of dam that was in it. So now it should be mutter. So he says even Rabbi Ephraim would agree the original chaticha is osur. That's a chiddush that the Mechaber writes. That's a question whether that's really correct. Did Rabbi Ephraim really say that? That's a question. So the Mechaber holds like that. But the Ashkenazim Amachmer, yeah, you, most of Hilchas Kashrus, the Ramah presents the Ashkenazim are more Machmer than the Svardim. But there's one kula where the Ramah is makel, much a whopper of a kula, that the, in the history books they say that that one kula outweighs all the chumras that the Ramah about Nemen Sirchas. If you have a sircha on the lung, so sircha indicates that there was a hole in the lung. A hole in the lung makes a trefa. So a lot of times you have a sircha on the lung. So the Ramah's mekel, if you rub and you rub and you rub and you, if you can easily remove the sircha, you just rub a little bit and the sircha rubs off, and then you blow air, you blow through the windpipe, and no air comes out. Let's say you hold the lung submerged underwater. And you blow into the windpipe, and no bubbles come up, so you see that there was no hole. So that everybody agrees. The Mechaber also agrees to that. That's not a problem. That sircha that easily comes off. What if it doesn't come off easily? You rub and you rub and you rub, and after an hour you succeed in rubbing off the sircha in such a way that if you blow air through, no bubbles come out. So the Ramah is mekel on that. And that's called glat kosher. Glat kosher is the chumrah of the Mechaber. So glat means it's smooth, that you didn't have to do miyuch mishmush. You didn't have to rub and rub and rub. If it comes off easily without rubbing hard, then even the mechaber is mekel. But if it only comes, if the sircha can only be filled up by rubbing for a long time, so the Ramah is mekel on that. In the history books, they write that one kula that the Ramah has outweighs all of the chumras that he made.
So in other words,
that's why originally there were two chief rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, because they used to give Kabbalah for the shochtim. So the Svardim had their own set of rules, which what's kosher and what's treif, both Hilchas Shechita and Hilchas Basa B'Challah. So they always needed a Chacham, a Rishon Letzion, to give Kabbalah to the Svardish Shochtim. And they had to have a different Hashgach for the Ashkenazim. Because in Shulchan Aruch, Mechab and the Ramah, two different worlds. Everything was different.
In other words, you can't eat by a Svardish Shochtim.
So that's a discussion in Poskim. These shaylas don't come up every single day. These shaylas come up once in a while. So am I allowed to eat? Is a Sephardi allowed to eat by me? Is an Ashkenazi allowed to eat by a Sephardi? Does he have to be concerned that the food that he's giving him is really what Lefishi Toscha, he's not allowed to eat? So that's a discussion in the later Poskim. Beis Yosef Shechita means this, that the Hilchas Treifas, that the Sircha was not removed by rubbing for a long time. That's called Beis Yosef Shechita. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are differences in Hilchas Shechita also, where the Ramah is always Machmer. Shia ben Mir Basra, the Ramah is Machmer. A lot of Chumers in Hilchas Shechita. The Ramah has a lot of chumras. Ashkenazim have a lot of chumras, but we have on the other hand the one big kula that we don't insist on the glat kosher.
Here in it.
Okay. The Ramah has more kulas in Bishul Akam than the Mechaber has. That's correct. Right?
So is this a common thing that the surface that array is that common in
Today in America it's not so common because it's who has an hour to waste to go remove sircha. So in America usually when you have the big slaughterhouse and they do kosher and non-kosher, so whenever there's a sircha on the reya, they just throw it on the other side and they sell it for non-kosher because it doesn't pay for them to have somebody work for a whole hour to rub and rub and rub till he's going to remove it. So you save money if you just sell it for non-kosher.
But biologically, I mean, there's a lot of animals have
Sirchas? Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik said when he used to give a hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston, I think he said it was 14% of all the animals that were geschachten had sirchus on the lungs. And this is because he used all the coolers on the book, on the books plus more. That's what he says. He used all the coolers on the books plus more. Plus more was, he said, that the Balatanya, first Lubavitcher Rebbe, has in the Kuntra Sacharan, at the end of his Sefer on Yeridaya, so he has a collection of tshuvas, so he has certain coolers about peeling off sirchus. He has a cooler too. So he used to use all the coolers in the Shulchan Aruch, plus the coolers from the Balatanya. He used to use those cool. And he said that there were other slaughterhouses where they advertised that when he used to give Ashkochas in the 1930s, where they would advertise that they're glatt kosher. And he says they claim they only had, he asked, what's the percentage of treifas? They only had 9% treifas. So he said, how could it be 9%? I'm mekel on everything and I have 14%. How can you claim that yours is glatt kosher and you have only 9%? In Eretz Yisrael, the percentage of sirchas is much lower. It's only 7% of sirchas. In Argentina, when they used to shecht, Rabbi Neuwirth from the Shmir Shabbos Kavachosa used to travel to Argentina to supervise the shechita of the flesh that they brought into Eretz Yisrael. He said in Argentina it was only 5%. Apparently it depends on how polluted the air is. And here in America, the buffalo hardly have any sirchas. That's why the chassidim, like, they want glatt kosher. They don't want to remove any sirchas, so the buffalo don't have any sirchas at all. Apparently they run wild in the forests. I don't know where the buffalo.
One of the reasons they had the animals, they put holding pens where there were a lot of nails. They used to eat the nails.
Yeah, that was a different. That was a treifas in the stomach. Yeah, there would be holes in the b'nei me'ay in the intestines. That was another issue. Smooth.
Yeah. So it's not glatt.
Means it had a sircha which you removed by rubbing and rubbing and rubbing. Right. So the Ramah says that's acceptable, and Ashkenazim, Sfardim don't accept that Ramah. The Sfardim follow Rabbi Yosef Kara, the Mechaber, who says that that's not acceptable. So they only hold it's kosher if it's glatt, if the lung was smooth and there was no sircha at all. Now if there was a sircha that came off very easily, in 2 minutes you just rubbed a little bit, even Rabbi Yosef Kara would be mekel.
So the Sfarim say it's not glatt kosher, or it's not kosher, period?
Not kosher, period. It's not kosher. So glatt kosher means it's kosher according to the Mechaber. Kosher according to the Mechaber. So in different communities, even though there were Ashkenazim, different communities, sometimes the Rabbanim, sometimes the Kehila, were machmer to be mekabel on themselves the chumrah of glatt kosher. I live in Washington Heights. Everybody knows that Rabbi Breuer was always mekel on the glatt kosher. He said it's better to be glatt yosher than to be glatt kosher. You should be honest in business and not to cheat, and be honest and not cheat on your wife and do everything properly. Forget about the glatt kosher. Yeah. Let's see, just finish up the Gemara. About 7 lines from the bottom. Amram Nachnam Shmuel, Eimanichim Kli Tachas Abasar. They want to collect all of this schmaltz that they considered very healthy. So you're not allowed to put the container below the flesh that the schmaltz is dripping from. Achiyechel Kol Marad Mumashabo. When the stuff that's dripping down is no longer reddish, there's no reddish color to it. So then you know that there's no more blood there. So whatever's falling down is just schmaltz. Then you can put a container to collect the schmaltz. How do you know whether blood is dripping on the bottom? You're looking at the top of the pit. How can you tell without there's a fire on the bottom? And the flesh is not so high above. If the flesh is over here higher and the fire is over here, so I look, I see, is it reddish? Is the stuff falling down reddish? But it's not so high up. The flesh is over here and the fire is over here. So how do I know what color it is? So the Gemara says, oh, we'll tell you the similar dover, how to know. If the blood is still dripping down, then the blood is going to put out part of the fire on the bottom. It'll extinguish the fire a little bit. But if the blood already stopped dripping down and now schmaltz is falling down, so schmaltz that falls on the coals, that's going to start making a smoke. So there's going to be smoke coming up. So Digmar, Minoya Dinon, how do you know from looking on top? How can you tell if you're looking on top, you're not looking on the bottom? How do you know whether it's red blood dripping down, it's only schmaltz? Mazut Mishmei, the Rapapa Omar, Mishitalatim Rasa. If you see that smoke is coming up, is Biodua, then only schmaltz is falling down, there's no more blood. Zog de Gemara, what kind of a proof is that? Maybe the bottom part of the steak stopped giving off blood, you have to turn it over upside down. Maybe the bottom part is not giving up blood, but the top part of the steak is no raw, is still raw. So maybe there's still going to be blood coming down. Dilma tato moto, maybe the bottom part, tato is the bottom part of the steak, moto already reached the point that only schmaltz is falling down. Aber yiloy loy moto, maybe the upper part of the steak didn't reach that point yet, maybe the blood is still going to fall down with the schmaltz. Elo, you can't rely on that. If smoke is coming up, it's a simon that it's only schmaltz. That's not a good simon. Elam Ravashi, what you got to do is like this. They had some kind of a this in the days of the Gemara. They felt that this is absolutely reliable chemical procedure. Am Ravashi leisle takanta ella. The only way to solve the issue is like this. You put a container on the bottom. It's going to collect all the blood and all the schmaltz. And if you don't shake up the container, the blood will fall to the bottom and the schmaltz will be on top. But then you have to put trei gelele de milcha, ela mishdi bay, we should throw on top of the flesh and throw into the container on the bottom also two chunks of coarse salt. So, vi basement, how thick the coarse salt has to be. The size of a baseball, the size of a ping pong. How big does it have to be? So that's what Rashi and Tosfos quote from the Halachas Gedolos. We don't know exactly how big this is supposed to be, the trei gelei de milcha. So since we don't know, so we can't do this stunt anymore. But in the days of the Gemara, they were convinced that scientifically and chemically, this is absolutely ois gehalten, that every trace of dam will be removed from the schmaltz. So since you removed all the dam, so the schmaltz is kosher. Yeah. If you can, today we have ways of testing. We have chemical procedures where you can remove everything that's below into the other thing. And then umeshafye, and to pour it off softly. If you're going to take the whole thing and start pouring, shaking it up, so the dam on the bottom with the schmaltz on top is going to get mixed up again. You have to pour it very softly so the dam remains on the bottom and the schmaltz only remains on the top. And then you'll be able to siphon off the schmaltz and eat it. Okay. Then we'll discuss a new topic on Amud Beis. Rav Soloveitchik used to have a drosha on Parshas Korach that he said every so often that Korach's rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu was he was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu's psukim. The common sense dictates that the din should not be so. He said, if you have a beged, a white beged, and you put on tzitzis in the corner, so how much tchelis do you have to put? One string, two strings, whatever, a couple of strings there. So what if the whole beged is all made of tchelis? Tala shekula tchelis. So logic dictates, you don't need any tchelis in the corner. The whole thing is full of tchelis. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, the halacha requires you have to have tchelis. Then he had similar things also. You need a mezuzah, you have a room, a bedroom, so you need a mezuzah in the front. What if you have a room that's full of svarim? Say, if a turret full of mezuzahs has all kinds of svarim inside. So you still need a mezuzah on the front. The room is full of svarim. So he was trying to pass kinshadas based on logic. And he was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu that the psukim that he gave are not logical. So Moshe Rabbeinu explained that logic doesn't always carry the day when it comes to limud Torah. Logic doesn't always work when you're dealing with chemistry, or with physics, or with biology. You can ask a logical kasha. Every discipline has its own self-contained system of logic. You have to know the logic of that discipline. So the halacha also has its own system of logic. I remember sometimes in Shir by Rabbi Gerelich, the students would ask a kasha, how did the Tanaim figure out this din from this pasuk? What's the shaychus? So he said, say, gevein zachein se trachten normal. You have to train yourself to think. You're not thinking normally. I mean, you're thinking like a pedestrian in a street. Logic dictates that this doesn't make any sense. You have to put yourself into the logic of the discipline. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik said. A lot of times, logic does. Logic is one of the midrash haTorah and the Yeah, sometimes svara paskins. The Gemara says whatever is a svara, you don't need a paskin. But the svara has to be formulated based on svaras of the Torah. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik told his children. That's what they quote. They shouldn't say any svaris in learning until they've gone through all of Shas with Rashi. If you don't know all of Shas with Rashi, so you don't know what Talmudic logic is all about. You can say a svara, it makes good sense logically, but it's not necessarily the logic of this discipline. Each discipline has its own self-contained logic. Yeah.
They say that according to the laws of physics, a bee couldn't be able to fly. In other words, based on that.
So you can't ask cautions, yeah. You can't ask any cautions. The Sifrei has a comment on the Pasuk. It says when the Beis Nagal issues is a Pesach, no one's allowed to veer from the Pesach. So the Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanaim. So what does it mean? Even if the Bezin made a mistake and it told you an incorrect psak, so the Ramban asks in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the first Mishnah in Horius talks about the Bezin Gadol made a mistake, and I know they made a mistake. I know Bavada they made a mistake. I'm not allowed to follow their psak if I know it's an error. So how do you deal with this passage in the Sefer Afilah Minshu Small? The Ramban says, no, the correct gears in the Sefer should be afilo nirem b'yeinecho al yimin shu'u smol. The layman thinks that the psak of the rabbi doesn't make sense. The layman thinks that the psak of the doctor doesn't make sense either. What do you mean to tell me to take this medication? No! Pliny took this medication for a different sickness. This is the wrong sickness. The layman doesn't know what medication is for what. The doctor knows. The layman doesn't know what chemicals to mix. If this chemical is common, this chemical is common, what do you mean you're going to mix them together? We're going to make an explosion. How can I make an explosion? This is a common chemical, this is a common chemical. You have to know chemistry to know the rules and regulations of chemistry. So that's what the Ramban learned. The Balabas is going to say, you think that the Psak of the Bezdin is an error. But it's not an error. You're working with common sense. Common sense doesn't always pass on the sharks. That's what Rav Soloveitchik called the common sense rebellion of Karach. That the halacha doesn't always follow common sense.
I think Rabbi Achman said once, he said, "Hey, now you're looking at from left to right is different from the other side."
Uh-huh.
He said,
backwards.